Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granite Audio 423. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Kevin. How about yourself?
I cannot argue. Had an extended weekend in North Carolina this week, meeting with other Stunt Granny member Jeremy Mays. Got to have a number of tasty beverages while in the Charlotte area. I'm just going to pretend like I did not go to a brewery in Winston-Salem and just let that one just, slide on by.
What do you got against the fine beers of Winston-Salem?
Well, it was just the brewery in particular that I went to. We were planning on hitting two. We only went to one because we were both a little more tuckered out than we thought we were going to be. That, and we made a stop in Mayberry along the way also. Because that is only a half an hour from Winston-Salem. So, yeah, there was that. So we got to Winston-Salem kind of late. The food, it was Foothills Brewery. The food was fantastic. Their chef is excellent. But the beer itself left a little bit to be desired. So they had a couple of pretty good ones. The their Hydom IPA was pretty good, and their it was called Hippie Handout was their summer pale ale was on the better side of things. the other four in the equation were a little questionable. There was that. We got to try a handful of places down there in Charlotte. My two favorites would have to be Bold Missy and what was the other place called? Oh, Heist Brewing. So, because we ended up trying four breweries while we were in Charlotte, because Jeremy's surprise party for his wife was in Red Clay Cider Works. So that was just, that's one of those places that it's unique, and it's hard to put a rating on something like that. There's one place in Pittsburgh that's like that, Dry Log Brewing, which it's all wild ales, so it just kind of has a funky taste to it. Having all ciders is pretty impressive. They do good work. I'm not sure that I want to drink cider all the time, though. That is my problem.
I get you.
So, there's that. Old Mecklenburg Brewing is one of their big ones. And we had lunch there, and I had a beverage there. And it was pretty good, but only having one beer is not enough. But they do all German-style beers. So it's nothing too crazy. You're not going to find any lime or lemon peel in any of these fine beverages. So, there was definitely a variety of different types down there, but Bold Missy's Storm in the Gates IPA used 16 different hops, and it had a really good taste to it. So that was one of my favorites, and Heist Brewing was doing an experimental pale ale, and it was volume number 4 is the one that I happened to taste, and it was quite good. So those would have been my favorite beers of the weekend. You there?
What's up? I'm glad you had a great weekend, and glad you and Jeremy got together.
Yeah. So that was it for the Beltane beer segment of the show. It was also one of the reasons I did not watch NXT TakeOver because I was otherwise occupied Saturday. I did happen to get home though in time to catch SummerSlam. And the main event of SummerSlam happened to be Brock Lesnar taking on Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe, and Roman Reigns. The outcome to me was not entirely surprising. I'm not sure if we did predictions on the show last week, but anytime a champion's in a multi-man match, it is almost surely going to be the champion that retains. So, it gave the crowd a little something extra that Roman Reigns happened to be the one taking the pinfall in this one.
Yeah, definitely. The crowd definitely remains definitely the heel in that match. Everyone else was cheered wildly.
Yeah, so, that continued all weekend long, which it's kind of funny. We could really talk about that too right out of the gate, the whole crowd situation. I guess Braun Strowman did all of the damage to Brock Lesnar, or the majority of the damage to Brock Lesnar in the match, seeing as though he was the one to put Lesnar through two tables and drop another one on him.
Yeah, that was all excellently done. Yeah, Braun Strowman was just a monster during the course of of that match. Once again, he was really was the star of the match. It was definitely, everything was pointing toward. It's an odd thing that SummerSlam was used to set up No Mercy like that, but. It worked out really well. That four-way was absolutely excellent from start to finish. Maybe the most fun to watch match I've seen in a long time.
It basically lived up to what I thought it would be, which it's four bruisers taking each other on. So, I mean, it didn't really matter who was in the ring at all. Someone was getting beat up. It was power wrestling, at its finest, with definitely a new generation of stars, including Braun Strowman. Was it you that mentioned that I saw someone note that those guys move like cruiserweights? I know they said it on the announce team, but that makes the cruiserweights not so valuable because these guys can do that type of stuff.
I don't. I'm fairly certain I was not the one who said that, but it was true. It is true, and yeah, no, there is no, absolutely no point to having a cruiserweight division in this day and age when guys that size can do those, can stick around like that.
I mean, well, I still think part of the problem is just in how they put together 205 Live structurally, so to speak.
Oh, wait, no,
But yeah, it does certainly take some pizzazz out of what they can do. Because, I mean, just from a physical sense, it makes sense to kind of keep them off to the side. Just because, I mean, Finn Balor, despite his big starness, it's going to look really crazy if he ever takes on Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that is a... a size difference that I'm not sure that can be overcome. And I know that they're going for when Balor dresses up as the demon, there's some type of mystical element to it that makes him stronger, but no, it's just, you know, those just kind of tricks that won't work for a match like that. I don't see that as a match to book at all.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, Finn.
And I guess I kind of let us down that road anyway. But, yeah, it makes that type of match really, really crazy. The big man match. Like, it's certainly something that we wouldn't have seen even a few years ago. Like, there was a movement there, and I mean, I'm sure I was amongst them complaining about too many big guys in the WWE. I was not complaining about this type of big guy at all. Because they didn't exist. They were like big lumbering guys that couldn't do much, and none of those guys are anywhere near that.
The era of Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy is long over, and good riddance. You know what these guys can do is really incredible. They put together this incredible, wild feeling match that just felt like a fight from beginning to end. Speculation that Paul Heyman had a huge hand in layout of the match, as he does a lot of times when Brock is wrestling. So kudos to him. Kudos to everyone involved. That was so well done, and just it may have been the best match ever of its type.
Yeah, and I guess, there are some pretty obvious implications that came about on Raw. And the most prominent thereof was the fact that Strowman is going to be the one to, as you put it, they set up No Mercy as the bigger pay-per-view in some ways. But Braun Strowman's the next contender. It seems logical, since he really was the last guy to beat Roman Reigns, who was the guy that beat The Undertaker. So, he seems like he should be the one in line anyway.
Yeah, they've been teasing this for a long time. Sometimes it may not feel like it. The actual one-on-one match was probably delayed by Strowman's injury earlier this year, but no, we're finally getting this match. And it's amazing that we're saying we're finally getting this match when there is a strong argument to keep these two apart until WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's something that it's just got to be really hard to do in this day and age, because there's just going to be a level of of recycling that ends up going on. You just hope that there isn't too much recycling. Is pretty much right. It at this point.
Yeah, I mean, this is the direction they're going. Hopefully, they can get a multiple match series out of it. That this isn't just one and done. Brock Lesnar wins. They've invested too much. I think they've invested too much in Braun Strowman to just let that happen.
Oh, yeah, right.
I could see a title change. I could see something a non decisive finish after a brawl. You know, just two big dudes just throwing each other around. I don't think this should be over. They should definitely, try to get more out of this.
Yeah, and I would think that they might be able to drag this out to Survivor Series at least. I don't think No Mercy will be the end of the road. Because I just feel like, really at this juncture, they get at least two pay-per-views out of any feud, especially a top feud. And with Lesnar, having a partial schedule, I wouldn't expect it to be back-to-back pay-per-views with him. So if he wrestles at No Mercy, I'm not sure if Raw has one in between then and Survivor Series or not. I would imagine at least one.
Yeah. I know Brock's not advertised for the TLC pay-per-view October. Nor is he actually advertised for anything else for the rest of the year. But I imagine there's a very good chance he'll get at it. He'll end up working Survivor Series.
Yeah, I would think so. And then take off until, I would imagine, Royal Rumble.
Right.
One way or the other. So, that was definitely one thing to come out of the main event. I guess the other thing to come out of the main event is that there's a possible Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns feud, or they threw out another possible for Samoa Joe.
I don't think they threw out anything for Samoa Joe. I'm pretty sure everything they did on Monday was Samoa Joe's. Well, was just a one-off to get through the tag match with Cena and Roman Reigns.
Oh. Yeah, I guess
I'm pretty sure at the end of that tag match, Joe and Miz were an afterthought. They got nothing.
That is true. They did not get a whole lot after the match. And there was still a little miscommunication with Cena and Reigns that would certainly lead you to believe that will be the match that will happen next.
Yeah, John Cena, Roman Reigns. I don't see it at No Mercy. If anything, they might do. They might have Cena and Roman Reigns team up to challenge Rollins and Ambrose for the tag belts. I could easily see that. And maybe it's Cena and Reigns at Survivor Series. If not holding it off all the way to WrestleMania. Depending on John Cena's schedule from here on in.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the reasons why I thought it might be Samoa Joe might be an option for either of those guys, because Reigns and Cena just seems like a bigger matchup than just No Mercy.
With Braun and Brock already on the card, I wouldn't. It would be a waste of one of the biggest matches they got. As it is, No Mercy feels like it'd be a waste of arguably the two biggest matches that they have to offer, you know, going forward. But, you know, Brock and Braun's already happening there, so yeah, nah, I'm pretty sure they're not either Cena and Reigns are gonna continue Cena and Reigns as a team, you know, with tension brewing between the two, or maybe they will split off, you know, No Mercy, you know, in singles matches, maybe with one with Joe, maybe one with Miz. Although, man, does Miz have no, if they go with Miz and Cena, does Miz have no credibility there at all?
Yeah, he's, that was the one I'm like, oh, man, you know, I was kind of talking about not retreading feuds too much just a little bit ago. That was one that I immediately saw the two of them, and I'm like, didn't this just happen?
That definitely did just happen, and they brought it back. I thought Miz cut a hell of a promo. I mean, supposedly he was legitimately angry about the empty arena match he had on the SummerSlam kickoff.
Yeah, well, he certainly didn't get these viewing eyes for his match at SummerSlam kickoff.
No, I was definitely not ready to be sitting in front of the TV that early in the night. And apparently the building and WWE had a miscommunication and people weren't let in the building until most people weren't let in the building until after that match was ongoing or completed.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't just people are already getting tired of these 6-hour shows, so they're showing up late. It was just a miscommunication. I did not read that story, so I did not realize it was a miscommunication with the building.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes a difference, and that sucks for him. Not that I think that it would have been a full arena by any means, but yeah, that's just a rough spot to be in. That, and they expected us to realize that Jason Jordan lost that match, evidently. Which, again, didn't watch it.
Yeah,
had no idea.
Yeah, they are definitely backtracking on Jason Jordan here. They need to speed up this his guilt turn really quick. The same one.
Yeah, it's this thing just they're realizing that it didn't work out pretty quickly. Which is kind of surprising. It takes them a while sometimes to admit their mistakes, but this one seems like it's probably going to be addressed sooner rather than later, because I feel like they were already planting the seeds on Monday to get Jason Jordan to be a heel.
Yeah, definitely are, you know, wrestling baby faces. Yeah, that disingenuous smile. Yeah, what they were doing definitely wasn't working. Isn't working. Yeah, it's time to switch gears. You know, the throw this guy you know, just something, because he's drowning right now.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny, like, I mean, he's gotten nothing as far as mic time, or at least it's just been really limited, and that has not done him any favors. I thought, honestly, that he would be the one to have an extended feud with The Miz, just because The Miz always helps the guys that don't talk well. And that does not seem to be in the forecast whatsoever.
No, it really doesn't. No, it looks like, I don't know exactly what direction Miz is headed in, but no, it looks like it's veering course from Jason Jordan.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else to say about that main event end of Raw there? Since we kind of veered into that territory because of Cena and Reigns, and possibly Samoa Joe not having Samoa Joe and Miz kind of being a little lost for the time being. But I mean, you know. They'll have time to build something in the meantime for whatever they end up choosing, but yeah, there isn't really anything to say. So is there something to be said about the SmackDown main event of Shinsuke Nakamura taking the big old L in a night full of title changes, one of the ones that seemed predestined to happen, did not happen?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, it. I wouldn't have been surprised, and I was sort of expecting the title change there, but, no, I mean, with nothing else really on the horizon, probably makes sense to delay the chase. You know, obviously Nakamura's not going anywhere. They did what they did tonight, you know, with Nakamura getting to beat the Singh brothers pretty handily in a handicap match, and then, you know, thwart an attack from Jinder with Kinshasa. So, you know, once again, obviously they're building towards a rematch. They got Hell in a Cell coming up, which, you know, which obviously is part of you know, the point of Hell in a Cell is to neutralize interference. I think they've even got a trip to Japan. The SmackDown side even has a trip to Japan in September, so that might be interesting. They, you know, with SmackDown not having a pay-per-view event in the month of September at all, if they do something with that, you know, announce that we're going to have live coverage of, you know, WWE in Osaka, Japan, live on the WWE Network at 5:30 in the morning, you know, like they did with Lesnar working in Japan. And maybe, who knows, maybe do the title change there, you know?
Yeah. So They've certainly been playing that card up more recently with the AJ Styles win and the Brock Lesnar. At least he had a title defense in Japan. Did someone win the a title over there in Japan? Was it Finn Balor?
Yeah, they had Finn Balor win the NXT Championship from Kevin Owens, and then they did have Nakamura. Yeah, they had Samoa Joe beat Nakamura for the NXT title at a takeover, just to lose it back to Nakamura in Japan like 2 or 3 weeks later.
Yeah, so it is definitely not unheard of for something like that to happen for SmackDown. Well, for the WWE at all at this point.
No. But no, I mean I'm fairly certain, you know, that, you know, the title's ending up on Nakamura sooner rather than later, because right now with Cena on Raw, Randy Orton already having, you know, more than enough chances, AJ Styles is, you know, gonna, you know, hold on to that US title. There's nothing else. There's no one else. So, but there's also not a lot of heels for the new champion Nakamura to face either.
Oh. Well, they definitely have Kevin Owens there. Yeah. Baron Corbin
Speaking of, yeah.
is certainly someone that is oddly still in the conversation.
I guess he almost has to be because there's just no one else. And in the weirdest twist tonight, did Bobby Roode debut as a babyface? Because I'm not sure.
It was really confusing that he came out during Aiden English's mic time, which generally gets a pop. So, yeah, you kind of did that, but he also kind of just did everything that made him a smarmy heel in NXT also.
He did do that. He was a little on the smarmy side, definitely arrogance. But he didn't really go hard. He didn't try to turn the crowd against him. He didn't try to say anything mean to Renee while she was interviewing him. He didn't do anything that was that overtly heelish. So maybe that was just for this night because there's no this SmackDown does not need another baby face. SmackDown needs a top level heel badly. So
Yeah.
I was definitely perplexed by the presentations a lot of the presentation of Mr. Rude this evening.
It's one of those things that, in a way, it would have made sense to debut him next week. Just because. And again, the conversation rolls into the crowd. You know what to expect out of this crowd in particular. You know, they were going to cheer him as a baby face, probably anyway, whether he acted like a heel or not. So, you know, kind of doing that extra level of baby facing it for him. You know, why not just wait another show and then debut him so that you get more of a heel reaction to the situation?
Right. Yeah. No. That definitely could have been done. They definitely could have waited. Yes. Again. But they had him against. They obviously wanted this reaction. They put him against a heel. Yeah. It's perplexing. Hopefully, he is a he's a net. I know the entrance will get a pop, and it always will, but. He does have enough heel swagger to the crowd out against him. Down desperately needs top heels. Definitely fill the bill. For that at least that number two or three heel spot after Kevin Owens. After I guess Jinder Mahal stays doing. Looks like Lorraine's taking in the pen somewhere. Nice.
Again, I guess they still have time to really kind of turn him full on heel. So we'll see what ends up happening. I hope it does not continue the course that it did this evening, though. That's for sure. And he works better as a heel, to boot. And I about spit out my beverage when JBL said that he's getting paid so that he can have a lot of beer money during the match. I'm like, wow, okay, they just decided to go there. That's pretty hilarious.
No, that was a good one. And poor James Storm. Ugh. I guess he's happy. I guess the checks are back clearing again. And he gets to spend a lot of time at home. I hope it's all worth it for him.
Yeah. He just has different priorities than a lot of the roster, evidently, or a lot of wrestling in general.
It must be that. Because you don't see, because Global Force is not touring. You never see his name attached to any indie shows around the country. So, you know, he must just like showing up once a month.
Yeah, and there is something to be said for that. But Bobby Roode is making a whole lot of extra coin compared to James Storm at this point, I'm guaranteeing.
Yeah, well, right now, I guess, you know, maybe if you're Bobby Roode, you want that you want that babyface merchandise money really bad.
Well, I'll tell you what, he... I couldn't believe it when, maybe I've mentioned this before, but the fact that it was pointed out that he is 40 years old already, I'm like, you know, I know that I kind of make fun of the fact that their young stars aren't particularly young, but Bobby Roode kind of takes it to another level in that department. You know, because what, I believe Finn Balor's 35, you know, some of the fresher faces are at least in their early to mid-30s.
That's been their MO. I mean, they're you know, Triple H's doctrine has been to really scour the world for the talent that's been out there for 10, 15 years. You know, it's already good to great, but... Yeah, I mean, time is not on a lot of their sides. I believe, you know, back in the day that, you know, they picked up Hulk Hogan. He had experience, but he also was, I believe he was maybe only 28 or 29 when he beat the Iron Sheik. So, yeah, you know, they were still picking red guys when they were relatively young. But this, yeah, guys, you know, pushing 40 and even now above to, you know, come into the company, you know, for their first run, that's pretty unheard of. To have so many guys in their 30s who are, you know, 15-year or more veterans.
Yeah, and they did not shy away from that in any way on the program, because they did mention that Roode has been wrestling for 2 decades, and I'm like, well, okay. you know, that is a long time span to have under your belt. And you could certainly tell, I listened to him on Edge and Christian's show, you know, you could tell that he had that level of experience.
Yeah, he does. He definitely has that level of experience. I mean, you can tell also that he's... the entrance theme and everything that goes along with the entrance has given him so much light. But you can tell by that podcast, you know, that in reality he's a pretty dry guy.
Oh,
you know, not the flashiest fellow.
No, he is. He does not certainly seem to be that. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all. and that was not the only debut of SmackDown. Shelton Benjamin also debuted on SmackDown. Gotta admit, I got the distinct feeling that this new tag team of Shelton Benjamin and Dan Gable is not going to work out very long.
Yeah, no, no, yeah, yeah. Dan Gable is pretty old nowadays. that was a funny. But yeah, no, no, yeah, yeah. Chad Gable seemed really excited about the new team. Shelton Benjamin really did not. To put it mildly.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to end up going with the whole we didn't want to be a team, but it's kind of funny. They could go with it because that's what made Jason Jordan and Dan Gable click, were all of the segments that led up.
You did it a second time.
Huh?
You did it a second time.
What did I do a second time?
Calling him Dan Gable. Dan Gable.
Oh, Chad Gable.
You didn't even notice the first time I zinged you.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention. I'm like, yep. You said something. I'm like, uh-huh. And, like, it did not even register that I had said the wrong thing at all. Oh. Okay.
Sorry. Well, it's been a long time already. We have had so many technical issues tonight, and cross our fingers we'll get through this finally.
Yeah. Okay. So Chad Gable, the thing that made him and Jason Jordan work as a team were all the segments that they had to go pally pally on. And, you know, he had to work on Jordan to become his friend and to be his tag team partner. I looked at that segment when I initially watched it like, oh, Benjamin's going to be a singles wrestler. But they really could have the origin story of American Alpha play out, but with Shelton Benjamin in the Jason Jordan role.
You know what? They absolutely could do that, and I'd like to see it. I mean, you know, once again, it feels weird. We're always talking about all these older guys getting giant pushes, but you know, Shelton already has that, you know, mid-2000s mid-card stink on him in some degree, as far as someone who could, you know. So I don't see him making a lot of waves in the singles division.
Oh.
I should say singles divisions.
Yeah. Like I said, I guess I was initially thinking that he would be a singles, but yeah, he kind of has that. And there's no one. It seemed like the Usos were moving on from New Day tonight, also on SmackDown. So they'd eventually need a... Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it would definitely need a... Benjamin in pretty short order in that regard.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be their next opponent necessarily, but it could be a future thing. Like, I'm talking myself more and more into this angle as the show goes along. But who knows if the WWE actually has that up their sleeve, or if it will be a singles thing. But you know, the tag team general. Or the tag team division in general has just been pretty fun with the teams that they've thrown out there.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, obviously it's been anchored by the Usos and the New Day. And if they're going to end that, then, yeah, it's definitely... I think that, you know, maybe this team of Gable and Benjamin... Now, I haven't seen and much of Benjamin. You know, I think on a few of the really kind of early, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, you know, New Japan cards, I saw him on, but I, you know, he wasn't ever really pushed much there either. So again, I don't know what Benjamin really has left in the tank. So it'll be interesting to see. It was just, obviously next week we're gonna get Benjamin and Gable in a tag match against the Ascension, because they're the designated jobber heel team.
Isn't one of the Primo or Epico injured right now?
You know what? I didn't even think about them. That's how long they've been out of the picture and not very relevant. So yeah, no, I guess one of them might would be injured. I don't remember hearing anything about that, but it would make sense for not seeing them for, once again, I don't even know how long, because I really haven't paid attention.
I was just thinking of them as a team that could job to them. I don't know. There's a lot out there that could happen. And I guess speaking of tag teams, we could talk about the Raw tag team champions, the new champions over there being Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins.
Yeah, very unsurprising. I mean, there was no way that they could have, you know, that they were going to lose that match or not walk away with the tag team champions. No, it's a good thing. I think it's great for them. It'd be interesting to see, you know, where they go next. I mean, there's a possibility they could do it, you know, Ambrose and Rollins versus Cena and Reigns, and, you know, just get Cesaro Sheamus' rematch out of the way in the next week or two. Or maybe that's not where they're going, and they'll just run with Sheamus and Cesaro again. But either way, I was kind of surprised they gave away the first ever Shield versus Hardy Boys match on Raw. That felt like something that you could promote to something bigger.
I mean, the longer and longer the Hardys are around, like, A, you could see that the announcers were angling towards saying that the Hardys aren't just a nostalgia act, and they've kind of even polished up that line of talk to, you know, say, like, they're here to stay, and they're taking it to the new champs and everything. But you can still just feel the whole Hardy change afoot, and it's still just hanging out there in the middle of nowhere, which makes it really, really strange.
It is strange. Obviously, they thought that they would have the broken gimmick by now. They probably, when they signed the Hardys, didn't even foresee the problems that were going to arise. The match they had on Monday, it got really good towards the end. The Hardy still can do enough to get by. Oh. But you can feel the nostalgia trip, you know, running out of gas.
Yeah, which, like I said, I think that's why I found the angle that they decided to go with interesting. I don't know. Yeah, they definitely didn't have a clear direction for where you know, things would go. I mean, it was a clean loss for the Hardys. So, you know, I don't think we're going to see a rematch. But hopefully, I feel like I say this every third week, that this is the beginning of a snapping for the Hardys.
Look at that, Hardys. The logical for the Hardys. But you know what? They've been losing matches for months now, and everyone's the one that's going to unleash the Broken Universe. This is going to be the Broken Universe, and it never happens. They might need to figure out a new way around, the legal issues to, you know, present them right in a different light or turn them heel, because this isn't working for them. I mean, you know, and it might be part of the Steel Force's strategy, you know, knowing that eventually at some point, you know, they're gonna, you know, run a scene as the classic Hardy Boys, and, you know, I don't know, come crawling, you know, looking for, you know, looking for a higher price from the Hardys and WWE to sell it, or to sell the gimmick. Although I don't know, it doesn't sound like WWE wants to be in the business of buying gimmicks from other other promotions, and obviously, you know, that's precedent you don't want to set,
right?
But it definitely. I mean, in the end, Anthem might already be getting the last laugh, because the last few months have forced Matt Hardy to remember. Matt Hardy wasn't breaking kayfabe anywhere for over a year. No, he was broken mad anywhere and everywhere. He was doing broken mad, you know, in public everywhere he was going. And now he's just Matt Hardy, you know, on Twitter and everywhere else. He's just Matt Hardy now. So, you know, once again, you know, they may have already won.
I guess they've certainly drug it out longer than I ever would have thought. I did not think that we'd still be talking about this at this juncture. So it's pretty wild that's where that situation is at. What else is there going on in the WWE that is worth talking about? There was just a poop ton of wrestling over the past, it's more than 72 hours. It's 90, the last 96 hours.
Yes, indeed it was. It's a lot of wrestling. You know what, in the end, you know, most of it was good. To many people, including myself, NXT TakeOver was probably the highlight. I know you haven't seen a lot, still haven't seen a lot of NXT TakeOver, but this one really kind of snuck up on you a little bit. Wasn't very excited by the build-up. Two best matches on the show ended up being, you know, Aleister Black and, you know, two of the three best ended up five, but you know what I mean. But, you know, the Aleister Black Hideo Itami match and the Cien Almas, you know, Johnny Gargano matches ended up being excellent. And those matches in the build up felt like they were just thrown together at the last minute, you know. And so I didn't really feel a lot of excitement heading into this weekend. I didn't watch it live. I actually didn't watch it until today. I had plans and, you know, wasn't gonna, you know, not go out. I mean, Blake, trust me, for a big enough wrestling show, trust me, I have turned down offers to, you know, to go out before, but this just didn't feel like it. Now, once again, with the mixed messages in the main event build, that Sanity and Authors of Pain just didn't sound very good. Didn't sound very good to me. The other two matches just, you know, were, you know, kind of thrown together matches with nothing at stake. And the only match that I really had any anticipation for was Ember Moon and Asuka, which I did make a point of watching. I guess Sunday morning, I made a point of watching it before I had I So that was the only match that really stuck to me, in the books.
Yeah, I only got around still to watching Almas and Gargano, and I really was not shocked by the quality of the match. Like, I've liked Almas in a lot of matches that I've seen, and I know that I haven't seen, like, everything that's happened in NXT, but, man, that guy has had some really good matches. And,
Yes, he definitely has, especially since turning heel, and now with Zelina Vega, she's added a great dimension to him now. I've always been a fan of the Rosita Trinidad, and I'm very happy to finally see her, get her shot in WWE. So, thumbs up. No, so please thumbs up all the way around there. I mean, it was Johnny Gargano's first big single match. So it almost makes sense that he's just maybe not quite ready to, win big singles matches yet. So, but he, he performed well, and he, fought a valiant game. They kept the DIY breakup alive, even though Lord only knows when Tommaso Ciampa's gonna. take over WrestleMania weekend for them to finally have Duke and Gargano versus Ciampa.
I'm okay with the slow build for him. I just hope his character kind of takes a generally different tone than the aw shucks. It's just me. I'm a poor old singles wrestler. Angle.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully. And I cannot believe. I know NXT is Triple H's baby, and Vince McMahon keep his fingerprints off of it for the most part. I can't believe they would allow a shirt with the actual word wrestling. That wasn't a Southpaw regional wrestling shirt. to be sold at all.
Well, it's definitely being sold. And I was strongly considering buying my first wrestling shirt in quite some time.
It's a nice looking shirt. I learned a while ago that while NXT wrestlers don't get a piece of, a six-figure, sold-out building, or close to sold-out building, whatever it was, at Barclays Center, but they do legally have to get, bonus checks for merchandise sold. So, it would definitely be a boon to the Johnny Gargano business.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I do believe he mentioned that his shirt sold out in Brooklyn. So, good for him. Like, he's already doing good in the merchandise department without my dollars. I was pretty excited, I suppose, by the somewhat of a reunion of Red Dragon, which I still have not witnessed, and the debut of Adam Cole in NXT, who honestly made it quite possible for Bobby Roode to move on up to one of the big shows.
Yeah, they just they are not going through with any kind of a, guaranteed rematch with Bobby Roode and Drew McIntyre. They, they just bypassing all that formality and, sending Roode straight to the main roster and, going with Adam Cole. I'm a big Adam Cole fan. I think that he's a guy certainly tailor-made for WWE. significantly more than O'Reilly and Fish.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he'll, he'll pay, he'll be one of those guys, I think, who pays a relatively short amount of dues in NXT, maybe mid-year tops. Because he's already there. He's a great worker. He's already a good promo. He's got his rap. He's got his walk. He's be a guy who's ready now. But NXT still helps. It'll still help.
Yeah, I think the year seems pretty standard at this point. Because both Nakamura and Rude spent about a year down there. So it seems like something that, they're kind of clearly doing with very few exceptions.
And Adam Cole is a guy who is only in his mid to late 20s. So that is a definite plus. He's already this good.
Yeah, he is one of the few guys coming in that is, to me, on the young side of the equation. Good on them for picking him up. And honestly, they've also mentioned, because pretty much all the guys that I enjoyed watching in ROH, they've decided to pick up. Because supposedly Donovan Dijak has been signed and is going to debut in NXT at some point. And also recently they mentioned Leo Rush, who...
Leo Rush, Topanga's favorite wrestler, is signed and sealed and ready to go to NXT. He's got a great pickup.
Do I want to know why you know that this is Topanga's favorite wrestler?
Because she went to that, she got her picture taken with him at a PWG show, and she even congratulated him on his signing on Twitter.
Oh, okay. I did not see this. I did not know that she was a big wrestling fan. Good for her.
I guess.
Or at least or she's at least a PWG fan.
A lot of famous people taking those PWG shows. good for him. He's definitely, once again, another guy, catching him young. Got a lot of buzz around him. He'll be a great addition to NXT. I don't know the age on Dijak, but I don't think he has been wrestling for too long. He's a big guy. Definitely a guy that, I can say his size with, the progress, making progress. He's a guy that, we haven't talked about it yet. If I'm Big Cass, I'm worried about him bypassing me in the eyes of Vince McMahon in the time that it takes to recover from whatever his injury is.
Oh, man, I so did not think that was legit on Monday. But then I have seen some reports that it seems like it's an actual injury. I'm like, oh, I feel bad.
You've seen it on the replay. It looked pretty bad. I mean, he just laughed and just started screaming and dropping F bombs over and over again. That thankfully the sensors were able to mute.
I did hear the audio going blank a few times. But for some, I guess I just felt like it was playing into the storyline to let Enzo kind of stretch this thing out. Dijak is certainly a guy who, And now I'm not sure of his microphone skills because he had some limited time, but he is certainly a better wrestler already than Big Cass is. I do think that he could probably use some WWE polish and learn some things.
But
you know, he's already, he's a better wrestler than Big Cass already, and I wouldn't be surprised if he improves upon arrival.
Give him a year in NXT, and he'll certainly be ready. We're already seeing the Big X move and work well. They're running the business, and the big guys who are lagging behind are arguably guys like Cass, guys like Baron Corbin.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. I mean, both of them sort of fit the bill because they definitely are more mobile than guys from the past. But they just have problems with their footwork somewhat. I would imagine that's what it comes down to. You know, I mean, I still can't believe how quick Braun Strowman went from, has this guy ever been on TV, to holy shit, this guy's awesome. I mean, that is something that can't be underscored enough.
it can't be. I mean, his improvement in the last year, since they started giving him the squash match format to get over, it's been incredible. I mean, you definitely got to give a credit to, as Strowman did, you got to give a lot of credit to Roman Reigns, because Roman Reigns has been in the ring with him more than anybody. He's had good matches with Big, Roman Reigns, he had good matches with Big Show. Big Show's another one who probably should be, there you have it. Big Show and Braun Strowman had two very good matches.
No.
Big Show and Big Cass had two awful matches.
Yeah. What's the common denominator in this one? It's not the Big Show.
Strowman's got is, it's unbelievable. Once again, the evolution, we talk all we want about, the quality of writing of the shows, the promos. I mean, throughout WWE and the entire wrestling business, the quality of in-ring work has never been better in the history of the business.
It really hasn't been. Even when there are poorly written shows, the matches have been generally good. Which was kind of surprising that SummerSlam was not a particularly good wrestling show. Go ahead.
Yeah, they just overload these big shows now. With 10 matches over the course of 4 hours, you got it's like the buffet of of matches kind of put together. You don't want to put all your good workers in with each other and then have the bottom half of the card be just super awful. So you mix and match certain people, and some combinations work better than others. But some combinations obviously don't work at all. So this is about the third year in a row I think we've seen SummerSlam just be something. I mean, thankfully, this year's show really had that awesome main event that really saved it. But, you know, and the focus build towards it. But,
it's
overall, SummerSlam has proven the last 3 years since they moved it to being a 4-hour mega show on par with WrestleMania. SummerSlam has kind of turned into a bloated mess.
I mean, it really does say something about SummerSlam that if you didn't think that the main event was the best match, the next match mentioned was the Usos taking on New Day. You know,
on the pre-show.
On the pre-show. That's just not a good place for wrestling quality, and kind of backs up those words. I guess, is there anything else to cover, or are we good for this week? Are we dusting off the hands and saying that we're done with the WWE?
I think we're ready to dust off the hands. I mean, this has been one of the rougher nights we've had trying to get this recording done. I think we hit the high spots, and I think we should get out before we go dark again.
Okie doke, grandkids. Well, at DeFrango11, at Chris Callum Media, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate it and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you happen to listen to us. Have a good night.
Night, everybody.